Dear listeners, in the last episode, we continue to follow Swamiji's steps, tracing his return from US to Europe and now back home. In this episode, we travel with Swamiji as he departs for India for one last time. Return to India. Swamiji left by the first steamer bound for India. He was alone. He had told no one in India about his return. When the ship reached India, Swamiji was very happy. It was late at night on December 9, 1900, when Swamiji reached Belur Mot. No one knew he was coming. Swamiji was still dressed in European clothes, and the man at the gate of the Belur Mot did not know who he was. He did not let Swamiji in, but ran to the other Swamis who were taking their evening meal. He called out, "A Sahib has come!" The monks were puzzled at this news. Who had come? What did he want? Before they could go to the gate, the Sahib came. When they saw who he was, they were very excited and happy. "Swamiji has come! Swamiji has come!" they cried. They spread a seat for Swamiji and gave him a large helping of khichdi. Swamiji ate it happily, as he had not eaten any khichdi or Indian food for several months. Then they talked with him for hours while he told them about his experiences in the West. But there was sad news waiting for Swamiji. One of his best loved Western disciples, Mr. J. H. Sevier, had died. Mr. and Mrs. Sevier had given up everything for Swamiji and had come to India with him when he returned from his first trip to the West. They had traveled through India with him, and they had begun to live in the Himalayas. They had started an ashram at Mayavati in the Himalayas. Now Mr. Sevier was dead. Swamiji knew that Mrs. Sevier was feeling great sorrow, and he wanted to go to Mayavati for a few days. He telegraphed at once to say that he was going to visit Mayavati. It was the middle of the winter. There was deep snow in the Himalayas, and it was very cold. But though the trip to Mayavati was very difficult and unpleasant, Swamiji did not turn back. He reached Mayavati on January 3, 1901. Mrs. Sevier and the monks who lived there were very glad to see him. It was cold, and the ground was covered with snow, but Swamiji went for long walks. He also had long talks with those who lived there. He stayed for 2 weeks and then returned to Belur Mot. Swamiji stayed at Belur Mot for about 7 weeks and then went to Dhaka in East Bengal. His health was becoming worse and worse, and it was hoped that the trip would do him good. On March 18th, he left Kolkata with several other monks. His mother was also in the party. At Dhaka, hundreds of people came to see Swamiji and listen to his words. He also gave 2 long speeches in spite of his bad health. He visited a few places of pilgrimage and also stopped at Guwahati, where he gave 3 lectures. Swamiji's health became worse. He was suffering from diabetes, and at Dhaka, he also had an attack of asthma. He decided to go to Shillong in Assam, where it was thought that the dry air would help him. He spent some time talking with the chief commissioner, Sir Henry Cotton, who was a friend of India. He also gave a lecture which was attended by many people. End of story. Swamiji made a quiet return to India at the turn of the century. And Swamiji was back at Belur Mott with his beloved disciples. Let's look at some of the words of Swami Gombhiranji Maharaj to understand some of Swamiji's activities at literally the last few months of his life. The Advaita Ashrama at Varanasi, the city of Shiva, was Swami Vivekananda's last handiwork and was a fitting close to a life so dynamic, inspiring, and self-forgetful, full of sympathy, spiritual fervor, and unobstructed vision as Swamiji's qualities that the Hindus believed and generally associate with the great god Shiva. His mother had believed that Vireshwara Shiva of Varanasi had been born as her eldest child, and his followers are convinced that he had in him much of Shiva, the god of unquestioning compassion and unalloyed illumination, whose favorite resort is Varanasi, the place where pious Hindus wend their way at the close of their earthly life. And had not Sri Ramakrishna visualized him as one of the seven rishis or seers who, though ever merged in the highest vision, had yet the spiritual distinction of preserving their individuality and thus forging a link between heaven and earth. But was that the end of Swami Vivekananda's work of spiritual ministration, or just the beginning of a mighty regeneration? His life was very short, but the power released by it was so tremendous that it created and continues to create a revolution in the world of thought and action. Thank you for listening.